If you haven't figured it out already, there's a theme tonight, and I'm absolutely carried away with it. And I think that's good. Thank you, Lord. I am healed. Praise your name. You know, sometimes we take for granted. We don't examine and think about the presence of the Lord. And yet without His presence, we can't accomplish anything. We can't get any insight. We can't get any wisdom. It all comes from His presence. Chuck, a while back, talked about a little bit about that and from a different perspective. But, you know, He's always with us. And wherever we go, He goes with us. Amen. And I've just got a few scriptures that I want to read. This is not going to be long and lengthy. But maybe give us a perspective on how important His presence really is in our lives. We've all got testimonies here. Some people would call greater than others, but they're still testimonies of the greatness of God and the presence of God in people's lives. I was sharing with Jen just a little bit ago, before we got started, about some of the about the presence of God in Stan's life and the miracles that God's done. Shared with her also the miracles that this church has seen because of people we prayed for, because of the presence of God and the faith that we have here that's been built as we hear the Word and receive the Word. Genesis 3:8 says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Now, they had the ability, in a way that we have never been able to experience, or I said, not in the same way we experience the presence of the Lord. He was there. He walked with them. His presence was there, and it was tangible in the garden. And we take it for granted. What happens is we end up with that presence not being so prevalent. And we need to make sure that we don't take it for granted. Exodus 33:14, talking about the children of Israel, they were going through the wilderness, being called out of Egypt. "Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here.'" There was a desire for the presence of God by the children of Israel when they started this journey. And what Moses and the people cried out is, "If you're not going to go with us, we don't want to go." Well, it was God's plan. And God's presence dwelt with them throughout the entire journey. It dwelt with them by a pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. Amen. And led them out. Psalm 16:11. See, in His presence is where the anointing abides. And we all know that the anointing is what breaks the yoke. Right? "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." So there we read that He will show us. And I would challenge you to go ahead and read that whole chapter, chapter 16 of Psalms. But verse 11 is the cap of the whole thing, and it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Those are promises that come from being in His presence. And, of course, it shows that in His presence, He shows us the path of life. Amen. We can see it clearly. Sometimes it's hard to see that when we get a little bit out of His presence, when we got focused on other things. But when we get back in that presence, it becomes clear again. You know? It's like fog. You go through the fog and you kind of lose sight of where you're going and stuff. A little difficult to see. But when you get out of that fog, all of a sudden things become clear again. It's like you're back in the presence. You're back at focus. Amen? Psalm 140:13. "Not only myself, but others are sensing just a real..." God's promoting His presence right now. His presence is where it's at. Amen? In His presence is where we receive wisdom, insight, understanding. That's where in His presence is where we can receive the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, where we can operate the way He designed us and wants us to operate. In Psalm 140, verse 13 says, Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. So we see there that if we're upright, then we're going to dwell in His presence. And there will be, I believe there's a strong desire for upright people, which we have in this place, to dwell in His presence. More so than we ever have before. If we're going to accomplish this year and in years to come what God has, we're going to need to be constantly in the presence of God. I don't know what I'm talking about. Jeremiah 5:22. I heard a message last Sunday by the youth pastor of the church where Charles and Joanna and Kylie go. And I'm blessed by that church. I want you to know that that's a good place. God's blessing them there. They're growing there. They're involved there. And these people have a zeal for God. And I got to tell you, they're not sitting still. I wish I had a tape of the message that he preached. It was awesome. Talking about open and shut doors. But that's another story. Jeremiah 5:22. Basically what he was talking about is getting up and getting moving. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to just get up and get in the presence of the Lord and find out what's going on. Because it's only there we're going to know what we're supposed to do. How many know what I'm talking about? Only there is when we're going to know what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to go, and how we're supposed to operate. Do not fear me, says the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence? Who have placed the sand as the bounds of the sea by a perpetual decree that cannot pass beyond it. Listen to that. He holds back the floods. Amen. I'm reminded of the scripture in Isaiah 59:19 that once again says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. Praise you, Lord. And so we read on here, it says, who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it, and though its waves toss to and fro, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's protection in His presence. There's joy, protection. There's insight. There's direction. There's wisdom and knowledge and understanding and insight. Hallelujah. In Acts 2:28. Final scripture here says, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. How many here tonight desire fullness of joy? Fullness of joy. I don't mean just a little happy. I mean fullness of joy. And it's only in His presence that we can achieve that place. Hallelujah. It's in that presence that we can get the song of the Lord. That we can come out of ourselves and be open enough to minister in groups or in whether it's small or large, where we can minister through the experiences and God can use what has happened and what He's done in our lives in the lives of others. Amen? Hallelujah. It's very important. The things you've gone through in the last year or so, Bill, tremendous growth. And what's been the mainstay for you? The presence of the Lord, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In His presence seems to be the message and the thought for the hour. And I don't know about you, but when I get the most befuddled is when I'm the farthest from His presence. Amen? I long to be in His presence. That song tonight, you're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. And when we make those declarations and we seek His presence and we dwell in His presence, then we don't have to ask Him, help me know you are here. We'll know He's here. Amen? He's with us. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. That's when we'll know Him in spirit and in truth. And that's where we know Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? It's where the most growth comes from, is when we're in His presence. I long for the presence of the Lord. How about you? Not just once in a while. Not just for a few hours on Sunday or Wednesday night, Tuesday night. I long for His presence all the time. Amen? I can't function in the kingdom without His presence. No matter how much I want to, I can't function in His kingdom without the presence of God. It has to be what we run after, what we long for, what we treasure. Amen? Praise the Lord. I can't help but sense that as we start to really, really get a hold of this by the Spirit and begin to see exactly what it is that God's trying to say, and I by no means, this is just a little drop in a great big well, not even a bucket, but a great big well. And if we'll grab a hold of this and we'll start to seek His presence and we'll start to operate, desire to operate in His presence in a way we never have before, we're going to see tremendous things happen. Amen. I heard a word while I was in service on Sunday, and I heard the word isolated. We don't want to be isolated. When God's presence is among us, we should be able to, and we should be desiring to go out and minister and compel people to come in. Amen. I don't know about this. I'll throw this out. You search your heart and you search the heart of God for yourselves. But I kind of halfway think that that's one of the things that's, and it wasn't intentional. It wasn't that we set out to be this way, but there's some kind of isolation, a little bit of isolation that we've entered into. I think we've talked about this in our group encounters and stuff and on Tuesday night Bible study. And isolations, and that's not the way to get people brought in, being in a little group. And I mean, this is a solid group, but we're all longing for, we're all praying for, I'm sure, for God to really move and bring people into this place. But it won't happen if we're isolated. You know? Exactly right. And even though you might get hurt, you got to do it again. And if there's one thing I've learned and one thing I know a lot of people in this place, if not most of us or all of us, we've been hurt. But we're still trudging on because we've decided to make that decision to be vulnerable again. Amen? To be sensitive and not to become hardened by those things that have happened to us, but by the presence and the blessings and the promises and the relationship with the Father and with our Bridegroom, Jesus. Amen? That's right. His whole history on this earth. There's so many places in the Word where we see that He was a man, just like we are. We read about Lazarus, and we read how Jesus loved him. Now think about that for a minute. What does that mean? That means that it didn't mean that Judas was any more important to Jesus, but Jesus loved him. He was important to Jesus. And that means Jesus had compassion on him, and Jesus wanted the best for him. Amen? And what happened is in that situation, even though he was dead and everybody was complaining about, man, you don't want to go in there. He's stinking by now. Lazarus, that's what I'm trying to... Who'd I say? No, not... Hey, well, I said Lazarus. Lazarus was who I was talking about. I got the thought from Patrick. but Lazarus. Thanks, Richard. And when Jesus' presence came and when he spoke, Lazarus was raised up. So that's why it's important we have the presence of God, that we walk in the presence of God, not just once in a while. You know, I've always had a little problem trying to figure out, okay, Lord, your word says to pray without ceasing, and there's so many distractions. And tonight, out of the clear blue sky, as I was heading home, and as I was preparing, and even as I was talking to Richard, some things were coming up inside me, and I was praying as we were talking. Now, that's not a great revelation, but the point is, it's set at peace. You know, sometimes we try to be so analytical that, you know, or try to figure things out that we miss because it's so simple. You know? I mean, how tough is it that you're in His presence? Answers? Amen? Answers? Insight? Wisdom? Understanding? Knowledge? Come. They just come. We don't have to search for it. We don't have to strive for it. It's because we're in His presence. How many of us have had situations or times in our lives where it seemed like joy was the farthest thing in the world from us? And yet, we have the ability to walk in joy all the time. He says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that joy comes from a constant presence of God in our lives. Constant presence of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I long for that presence. I mean, more tonight than I've ever longed for it in my life. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. By some of the experiences in this place, I can look out and I can see the places and times and the testimonies that have come of how much God wants to be. He wants us in His presence, and He wants His presence to be around us. And how God, I mean, it reminds me of the footprints in the sand. The time when we think He's farthest from us, His presence hasn't left us. We're just not aware of it because our focus is off. Right? Yeah. And those are the times when He's there. But that's because of the time that we spent with Him when things were going what we might call great or hunky-dory. Calamity doesn't chase away the presence of the Lord. It just chases away the remembrance of the presence of the Lord. Right? Praise the Lord.
And then when he was struck down with an illness, the attacks, it's amazing how quickly the Lord is right there to guide you to do.
Amen. Amen.
It may be a prayer from someone, or it might be just gives you an instant healing, such as you and I have experienced here.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's going to be something that's going to take a little bit more time. And I noticed that with this onset of pneumonia, it was very quick.
Mm-hmm.
But it was amazing how everything was all lined up to become healthy again, or just on the road to recovery so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, sometimes, like we say, that an instant healing is always a miracle and is always a great feeling.
Amen.
But when you get the chance to go to you have to go maybe go to a hospital, it's amazing how many opportunities you get to witness to somebody.
Amen.
So, it's all a good plan. I mean, he didn't have the time. He knows I'm going to get sick. He knows that I was going to go to the hospital. He knew I was going to have to go through something. But he gave me an opportunity to talk with people that I would never have had a chance to.
Man,
thank
the Lord.
My son-in-law.
Yeah, praise God.
So praise the Lord.
It's all, if you try to say, well, you know, illness is from the devil, and the hospitals are not a good place to go, and doctors are not the things that you trust, but I'll guarantee you, the guys that I met, some of the finest people I have met for a long time, they were great, incredible people. These caregivers, their hearts for people, they just, I mean, I watched them, and they just poured out.
Mm-hmm.
They pour out love like you have never seen, you know. It's not the agape love, but it's a caring love. It's a care that causes you to open your eyes and you see these people and you say, man, one guy that came in my room, he's a character. 3 o'clock in the morning, the guy's rattling tin cans and doing his ordinary stuff, you know. But I just said, hey, turn the light on, I want to talk to you. 3 o'clock in the morning, we're sitting there talking. And it was just a matter of just reaching out to people. But you didn't. I know that there's things in my life where I've got to check myself, and I'm judging myself lately, and I've asked the Lord to show me how to judge myself.
Amen.
Because the judgment that I pass out to others is not right. I mean, there are things that you say to, I mean, people that are driving in the street, or something that you meet, or somebody that's giving you a bad time, or, you know, you can judge people. You can do it automatically. You do it without even thinking. You're judging people. And I saw things in that hospital, things that were going on. Incredible stuff.
Let me share just a couple things. First, I just want to make a comment to what Harry said. I don't think it's ever God's plan for you to be in the hospital, but God always has a plan if something like that happens. Would that be a better way to say it? Exactly. And that's what he said. He turns bad situations into good. And in that, it doesn't mean even if you've been the one who struck that God can't use you in that situation. Amen? Isn't that kind of what you're saying?
I met some people from all walks of life. I mean, from every different country.
Praise the Lord.
There was a girl, a Malaysian doctor. I mean, she didn't look like she was past 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another doctor that was a young guy. I mean, he was an incredible. He was a Japanese doctor. But I'll tell you, I mean, the way he could speak to you and the way he talked to you, I mean, he was focused, and he knew exactly what was going to do, what you had to do, and what was going on in your body. He told me the whole thing. He says, now that you know these things, you don't have to worry anymore, do you?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
But some of these doctors, little young people, I think, wow, and the knowledge that they had, it's just, mm-hmm. I mean, I was impressed by a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Because, you cannot judge just by the person that you see face to face. You got to get in there. You got to find out what they're all about first.
I want to share with you, most of you probably are not aware of what Harry was talking about. One night when we were in the church over on Morrison Road and Wadsworth, we were working in the church, and this is a great example of the presence of the Lord. And I got to tell you honestly, and I think I told Harry this, and if I didn't, I'm telling you now, I'd never experienced anything like that before. Harry, I don't remember if you had been injured or you were suffering some pain for what you were doing.
Larry Morgan and I were working up on that
on the lights. Right.
And they were bending backwards all day long.
That's right.
Trying to get these lights all straightened out and get them fixed. And through the wiring, that was all screwed up. And when I came down, I was one hurting mess. I could not breathe.
And you could tell the way he walked, the way he talked. He was not.
I was leaning on the table. And I couldn't breathe anymore. My back was so sore, I couldn't catch my breath. And you come up behind me, and all you did is laid your hand right on the spot and said, "You're blessed."
Didn't even pray for him.
Didn't pray nothing, just said, "You're blessed." And also, when I stood up and I felt perfect.
The presence of the Lord. That's right. The scripture says a word fitly spoken in season, not a bunch of words. See, I had no idea that was the presence of the Lord.
I'll never forget it because I know that as soon as you touched me, I just stood up and my breathing was normal and the soreness was completely gone.
And how many know, we all know here, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. It was a point of contact that God wanted at that moment and I had no clue. I just went up to encourage him and say you're blessed. I didn't remember exactly what I said, but I knew all I did was just kind of lay my hand on him for just almost like a pat on the arm or something like that. And next thing I know, man, he's walking upright and things are great. And he told me. So praise the Lord, That's why his presence is so important. That's why coveting to be in his presence. How many know coveting is something that is okay when it's in the right way? Okay. Like I say, I don't remember the words. I just remember what happened. And I was blessed myself because of what happened. So, you never know. Just the simplest thing. Sometimes when you don't even know what to say, just something like that. And God can use that. I mean, it's amazing. Hallelujah. So, I would encourage you. Be thinking about. Be striving for. The presence of the Lord. In your life. The way it comes, the way you stay in it, is meditating in His Word day and night, being in fellowship with His Word and with Him. Amen. We all know that. That's nothing new to us. We know that. And that's where he reveals himself. And that's where power and authority in the spirit realm comes from. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Came into the hospital room, and she says, well, how you doing? I says, well, I believe I'm healed. I says, you feel some kind of good job. I think God's doing a good job on me.
Amen.
Says, oh, in that case, you'll be out of here in no time.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen.
But you can tell that you'll probably be out of here by Saturday or Sunday.
Well, I'll tell you also, when Linda was in the hospital, I remember the first night that I went up there, when I found out she was in there, I went up and saw Bill, and we went back to the room, and the things that he was saying, the testimony he was giving to the nurse and this little doctor, I still can't get over it. Here's this little girl you talk about, young, this little blonde gal who's looked like she was no older than a minute, young, slender, skinny girl, not real tall, but real slender, and I'm thinking she's the nurse. Well, it's a good thing I didn't open my big trap because I'd have embarrassed myself greatly. She turns out to be Linda's doctor, one of Linda's doctors. You know, I'm thinking, this girl cannot possibly, I'm not that old, she can't possibly be a doctor. But she was, you know. No, she wasn't nine, but, she had to go through medical school, so she was a lot older than what I thought she was, because I thought she wasn't more than 16 or 18 at the most. But anyway. But the testimony that Bill gave, I know Bill left a testimony there because of the presence of God. See, it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that things are accomplished. Amen? The word of our testimony, our confession. And that all comes and flows because of God's presence in our life, because of our experiences of His presence from the past. But we don't want to let it stop there. We can't dwell in those past experiences. We got to keep growing and going on. Amen? That's important. We all know that if we sit still, we're going to get stagnant. And the minute you stand still, you're automatically starting backwards. So you've got to keep pressing on, pressing on, pressing on, just like the Scripture admonishes us. Press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? We're running a race, and we're running to receive a reward. The cool thing is God never said you had to win the race to get the reward. He just said, run the race. Set your face on the goal and keep the goal in your face, and you're going to win anyway. Amen? That's exciting. That's exciting to me. Praise God. J.W. used to say, and I mean, we've heard this a million times, God never said we had to hit the target. He just said, keep aiming at the target. He said, it's better to aim and miss than aim low and hit. You know? That's right. Just for a second there, I needed to be reminded. Yeah, there you go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, just the entire thought. And what's amazing is God's been stirring in me since I went to Spokane a week ago. Great. They're doing good. They're doing good. And I'm excited. Charles is, by the way, Jen, Charles is my son-in-law, and their station has been Fairchild Air Force Base in Spokane, Washington, and I went up for my granddaughter's fourth birthday. Now I just gave away how old I am to Jen. Yeah, well, I can't believe my son's going to be 30 years old here one of these days real soon, and my daughter's not far behind, praise the Lord, 25 and 28. And this year I'll be a year older. Of course, Kylie just turned 4. Excited to go to school. But, God's doing things up there. Charles is involved with the Easter play in the church, or Easter program that they're having. He's playing Nicodemus. He's playing Nicodemus. So, oh, yeah. And I'm not sure. I mean, I haven't seen any of the rehearsals or anything. But he's been faithful to go to the rehearsals, even though he's been working nights, and he just came off a weekend, so it's been really hard for him. Come home, get a few hours sleep, and have to be back at the church by 2 or 2:30, and then have to go back to work that night. So, but he's been faithful, and I'm not sure. I think he might even be able to do some of his choreography. I'm not sure in this thing. But They like the way he auditioned and stuff. And I'm excited because they're being drawn into that church. God set people in their path that they're being able to minister to. You know, I had a chance to sit in on their Bible study. They're studying a book about marriage and stuff. Doesn't make any difference whether I agree with everything in the book or not. The point is that they invited me. I didn't just barge my way in. They invited me to come and sit. And they allowed me to input things that the book didn't say, that there was some confusion on. Okay? And I just have to trust God. It doesn't make any difference about anything else. I just trust God that the words that were spoken were based on His Word and what He wanted spoken, and that it helped. If nobody else, my son and my daughter-in-law. My son, yeah, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, what she said. What she said. Praise the Lord. Very nice place. And Airway Heights, which is right up above there where the airport and the base is really not nice, too. It's on a plateau. And I just can't describe it to you. As you come down from the airport and everything in Airway Heights, you come down in, across the Gonzaga River, right into the town. Great place. Great place. So, but anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hope I've stirred you tonight. I hope the Word has stirred you to desire more than ever the presence of the Lord in your life. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, I've got great expectations. And you know why I have great expectations? Because I feel God has great expectations for me. But He has great places He wants to take me. And not just me, but all of us. It's not just for me, it's for all of us. Amen?
Yes, amen.
You know, for God to use us, we got to be available, right? And the only way to be available is in His presence. Amen? Constantly in His presence. We've heard this. Whether you're sleeping, whether you're awake, constantly in His presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before we close, we want to pray for what's going on with Stan and Connie and the Desiree. What an exciting testimony. It was quick, too. Quick, too. Well, what I've heard, what Stan explained to me, and I don't know how many have heard this. I don't know if he was there on Tuesday or what. But what I'm understanding is all of a sudden she had the baby, and Stan's exact words were, it's like the scales just fell off her eyes. And she said, what have I done? And the decision was made. I need to go back where I belong. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, well, hey, I don't care how God does it. I just knew God was going to do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? One of the things we need to remember, too, you know, and I guess of all people, I don't know how many of you thought about this, but of all people, I understand to some degree what Stan and Connie went through. You can imagine what, and you know, maybe not be able to totally imagine, but it's like a kick in the gut when you get word that all of a sudden something's happened like that when Joanna, you know, told me that she was having Kylie. You know, but the point is, I didn't go off. I didn't go nuts. I just got quiet in the Lord, and I turned to her. I hugged her. The tears began to flow. And I prayed, and I said, God, the first thing I did is say, God, whatever I did, whatever part I had in this, whatever part, I don't care whether it was minor or major, whatever part I have in this, with the tears streaming down my face and her face. First of all, she knew right then and there, I'm not rejected. I'm not rejected. And I said, God, forgive me for whatever part I played in this, whatever, if I had anything to do with what led up to this. And she had already made her peace with God. She'd already decided, I'm going to serve you, and if I got to go alone. But you see, when you repent, God's there to meet you. And I got to tell you something. I come from a family where, hey, you get in trouble, you're on your own. Don't bother coming home. And she was scared spitless because that's the way her grandpa was and what she thought. And when she sat there in the car that night, she'd bring me home from the airport. So I understand. I totally understand what Stan and Connie have gone through. You know? And the only thing I can do, the only thing in situations like that that will keep you going is remembering the Word of God. And the Word of God says that no child is born by accident. No child is born by the will of man or the will of flesh or by blood. He's born by the will of God. It doesn't make any difference what the circumstances are. See, we get caught up with our society and our ethics, what we call our ethics. That and a buck and a half will buy you a cup of coffee. And false moral standards, okay? Or basically, it's another way, like you were talking about, Harry, to judge, you know, and stuff like that. Hey, God's ways are higher than our ways. And I'm not going to sit here and argue with God. But look what's happened. Look what's happened. And I'm telling you right now, I told Joanna last night. And, of course, Joanna, because of the circumstances, because of how close she is, she was a little afraid. Now, she wouldn't admit that, maybe, but because of what she said, I knew she was. That Desi might blame her because she thinks that she's the one that started all this. You know, by telling, you know, and she really didn't. Stan knew before it was ever revealed. Stan and Connie knew. But the point is, you know, I told her and I said, Joanna, God doesn't do halfway restoration. And he doesn't do halfway reconciliation. If he's going to start something, he'll finish it. He'll carry it to the end. And that means total reconciliation, total restoration, and you get your friend back. And she's not going to hold you responsible. That was the stinking thinking that happened because of what happened, you know, the situation. And it's going away. Even if it doesn't happen right in a day or two, it's going away. God never does anything halfway. Come on now, you need to say amen to that. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Well, and that's why we need to pray. But Jen had a couple that she wanted prayer for. One apparently somebody who, because of her experience, she has great compassion for. And so we want to lift him up, lift that family up.
He was diagnosed. He was a brain instructor of mine when I came out here to go to one of the rehab programs. And I've known him for 15 years, and I've known his wife for 15 years. And last year I survived Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 2. He is in late stage 3, early stage 4, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's got some kind of blockage in his chest, and now there's something going on with his intestines. And, you know, because I went through that experience firsthand, I know how horrible it is, and it just rips my heart apart. Somebody like him has to have cancer.
Well, the devil's no respecter person, just like God isn't. And the bottom line is, Jen, and I want to encourage you again and tell you, one of the things we absolutely believe in this place is you don't exalt the problem, because the answer doesn't come from exalting the problem. It comes from exalting the one who has the answer to the problem. He's already made a way. that doesn't stand with God, with earthly wisdom and the wisdom of the way we were brought up and our intellect, but it's the truth. And the only truth in this life that'll stand when it's all said and done is God's wisdom and God's truth, because God is truth. And so the bottom line is, it doesn't make any difference how far it is. It's just a bigger opportunity for God to perform a miracle. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So right now, Lord, even though we don't know the name, it doesn't make any difference. You see this man. He's your creation. You see this family. And Lord, I thank you that you made a way. Jesus, because of your obedience to your Father and our Father, that you made a way by your bruises that you received and your stripes, the stripes of that cat of nine tails that ripped your flesh. With every lash, it was for our healing. Every sickness, every dis-ease, every infirmity, Lord, you made a way and you bought, purchased, and gave our healing in accordance with the plan and will of our Father, God. You're worthy, Jesus. So now we send you, Lord, the living word. We send the word to this family and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Not according to our thoughts and plans, Lord. The most important thing that needs to be healed is their spirits, their souls. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the wind of those ways are the ways of death. And Lord, we don't look for death. In you there's life and joy, peace, health, and happiness. In you alone, Lord. So we pray that you reveal yourself and that a total healing from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord, and his mind, his spirit, his insight, his intellect, according to Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of his understanding would be enlightened and illuminated to your presence, and to look to you, you alone, who are the author and finisher of our faith and his faith. Reveal yourself to him now. Holy Spirit, that's why you came, to be a comforter and to reveal God to us. to teach us, to guide us into truth. So do that now. And in that, Lord, we expect your kingdom will be prospered. It'll be in accordance with your kingdom and your plan, Lord. Not about us, it's about you, Lord, and your kingdom. So we thank you now in Jesus' name for that. And now, Lord, we lift up Desiree. We lift up Rob. This is not a comfortable situation, but Lord, there's forgiveness in you. And the fact that they're even desiring reconciliation, Lord, means that you've already begun a work in them. So now, Lord, we thank you for the completion of that work. We thank you for a tremendous testimony that will bring glory and honor to you, Father, and to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a healthy baby, Lord. Thank you for adding to your kingdom in that child, Lord. We speak, Lord, that that child will be a child after your heart, that you'll use that child. I believe that's your plan, Lord. Lord, we know by experience and by our flesh there's going to be some obstacles to overcome. But Lord, if our eyes and their eyes are focused and centered on you, Lord, they'll overcome those obstacles without any problems at all. You're going to do the work, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. As they enter into your presence, Lord, as they seek you, Lord, you're going to do the work. And we're here to stand with them, behind them, hold up their arms, to agree with Stan and Connie. That's part of the family of God. It's part of your kingdom, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for releasing and redeeming what the enemy tried to steal and destroy. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I thank you for those who are under attack also in this place tonight, Lord, our family, this particular part of the family and body. I thank you for raising them up, for touching them, for healing, being in their lives. I send your word to everyone. I thank you for a total recovery in Harry. I thank you for a total recovery in Marion, Lord. I thank you for myself. On my behalf, I thank you, Lord, for a total recovery and restoration. Quickly, Lord. It's finished. It's your plan. Hallelujah. I'll believe and I'll receive no other report. Together, corporately, we'll believe and receive no other report. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're on the move. We thank you that you're working, that your presence is ever near, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you for watching over those who are traveling. Tanya, the kids, Lord. Bob Eidelberger, Bob Romero. We thank you for physical health, physical strength. For Stan, Connie, Lord. For vehicles that operate correctly. For no obstacles, Lord, we come against the enemy. They're God's. You leave them alone. You have no right. Take your hands off. And even the idea of calamity, we rebuke that in Jesus' name and send it back where it came from. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, Lord, bless those that are here tonight. Touch them, Lord. Let your word be sealed in their heart, Lord. Let that stirring begin tonight. Let it continue if it's already begun, Lord. Let it become stronger every day and every moment. In every way, Lord. For this we praise you and thank you and give you honor and glory forever. Amen.